Proverbs chapter 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, son of my womb? And what, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It's not for kings, O Lemuel, it's not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice and the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless and the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is still yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. For her profit, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arm. She perceives that her merchandise is good. And her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the staff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies sashes for merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens up her mouth with wisdom. On her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Father, as we open up your word to such a familiar passage, especially to moms, I pray that you would give us new insight, new understanding. I pray that you would speak to us this morning, Father. Every one of us, moms, dads, single men, single women, we all need to hear from you today. And so we bow our hearts and our heads before you, and we ask that you would speak into our lives. I am so thankful for the great privilege that I have to be able to speak your word to this congregation that I love with all of my heart this morning. Minister to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Now, I know for some, it's a tough day. It's a tough day. It's a tough day because maybe you've been in a place where you have not been able to have children, you haven't had an opportunity to have children, or you've lost children. But with that understanding, I want to say to all of you gals in the room this morning, almost every one of you, without exception, you have that part of God, that part of His nature to nurture, to mother, if you will, whether you're a mom or not, you have that part of God, that nature of God to nurture, to mother. You have that part of God that most of us guys, let's be honest, simply don't have. I know I don't have it with my own kids. I don't have it with the youth pastors around here that I'm supposed to minister to and oversee. That nature to nurture just doesn't seem to be inside me. My kids fall down and they scrape their knee and I let them know, well, you shouldn't have been running around the house like a crazy person. And they, mommy would give me a hug. Oh, okay. And so I give them a hug and I'm like, stop running around the house. I just don't have that nature to nurture. The youth pastors start complaining about their schedules. I am far more likely to tell them to suck it up, bud, instead of saying, oh, I'm so sorry. I just don't have the nature to nurture. But most of you ladies do. Even again, if you've never had the opportunity to be moms of your own children, you know what you do. You come alongside people in this body. You come along people, your friends and your sphere of influence, and you nurture them. You mother them. I have been mothered by many of you in the room beyond the one that actually brought me into this world. And so for all of you gals, we are so thankful for the part you play in our lives and in the life of this church. Don't you agree with that, fellas? Don't you agree with that today? Every one of you gals. Now to you moms, we just salute you. I watch Christy, and I know the world's population would be a lot smaller if it was up to men to birth and raise children. That's all I know. I mean, you moms are initiated into momhood with the word labor. That doesn't sound very fun. That's the initiation process. And the work, as you know, doesn't stop when your kids are born. You feed them. You care for them. You change their dirty diapers. And they grow up and become teenagers. And then when they're teenagers, well, then you start to realize why animals eat their young, don't you? You start to have that understanding. You at least understand. We're so thankful for you moms. And in honor of you moms, we're leaving our series on the Sermon on the Mount, being an authentic Christian, for just a week. We'll get back to it next week. But this morning, we're going to look at a very familiar passage to you gals and hopefully to all of us. But we're going to look at it through the lens of the relationship between Solomon, who wrote it, and to his mom, who he wrote it about. And so look with me, if you would, again, at Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31 is a Hebrew acrostic poem. And what that means is each verse starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The Jews would sometimes develop their poems in this way to help with memorization, to help in their application of the text. Proverbs 31 is written by Solomon to his mother Bathsheba. Now you might say, I don't see the word Solomon anywhere in the text. I don't see the name Bathsheba anywhere in the text. Where are you getting that today, Pastor Jason? Well, it starts out by saying the words of King Lemuel, which his mother taught him. Now listen, Bible students, every Jewish rabbi, every Jewish scholar, every Old Testament expert points out that Lemuel was known to be a pet name that Bathsheba gave her son Solomon. I mean, you know how us parents are. We named our children Haley, Jonathan, and Aaliyah. But we usually call them that when they're in trouble. Normally, we have different names. I look at my girls, and I always say, oh, hey, pretty girls, because they are. They're beautiful girls. I look at my son, and I don't say, Jonathan. I mean, sometimes. But again, usually, it's when he's in trouble. I say, hey, Bud. I call him Bud. Now, that's not his name. That's not on his birth certificate. It's not official. Hey, Bud. But that's what I call him. Over and over and over, us parents have pet name for our children. Now, Solomon was his name. Solomon, by the way, means peaceful. And think through why David named his son Peaceful, remember? David said, I want to build you a house, God. I want to build you a house that will glorify your name, that can rival the gods of any nation. And God said to him, David, I love your heart, David. And I'm going to build you a house, David, but You can't build me a house because you're a man of war. And really what that means, I believe, is that Israel was in a season of war. It wasn't a time for building temples. It was nothing that David had done wrong. It was nothing that David had done sinful. It was a time for battle in Israel's history. But he says, your son, he can build me a house. And so David fights the wars. David fights the battles in order that his son would reign over a time of peace. And he calls him Peace, Solomon, hoping that would mark his reign. And it did. But his mommy, she was not so concerned with all that war and peace stuff. She calls him Lemuel, which, by the way, means dedicated to God. That's how Bathsheba viewed her little boy, her little Lemmy, her little boy that would one day be king, a special gift from God. And she wanted with all of her heart for her little gift from God to be dedicated to God. And Proverbs 31 opens up with Solomon, little Lemmy, remembering what his mom told him. Look with me again, if you would, in verse 1. The words of King Lemuel. The utterance which his mother taught him, what my son, and what son of my womb, and what son of my vows, do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open your mouth for the speechless. In the cause of all who are appointed to die, open your mouth and judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. As Solomon is writing this, he is reminded that his mother had told him some things to remember. Some things little Lemmy needed to stay away from in his life. Bathsheba had told Solomon, number one, Solomon, don't give yourself to women. Oh, that doesn't mean that she didn't want him to have one wife for life and have a beautiful, happy relationship. That's exactly what Bathsheba wanted for her son. But she said, son, if you give your life just to lustful pursuits, your heart is going to get off track and you will never be the man of God that God wants you to be. Stay away from a life pursuit of women. Secondly, look at the text. See what she says. Not only does she say stay away from women, but secondly, she says stay away from wine. She said, oh, Lemmy, drinking will cloud your judgment. You'll forget the law of God. You'll forget his principles. You'll oppress the poor. She tells him, drinking, you can give wine to depressed people. You can give wine to those that will forget their problems. But you, Lemmy, God has so much more for you. Stay away from strong drink. Don't give your heart to women. Don't give yourself to wine. And then thirdly, she says to him, minister to the needy. Instead of giving your heart to wine and women, give your heart and your life to ministry, to ministering to the needy and the poor and the downtrodden. This is what I want for you, my little precious boy, my precious little dedicated to God. This was Bathsheba's heart. Now, those of you that know your Bibles, what did her little boy... What did little Lemmy, little dedicated to God, what did he do with his life? Well, you know, Solomon went in the complete opposite direction. Instead of giving his heart to one wife for life, one special gal, 1 Kings chapter 11 said he had 1,000 wives and concubines. That's just insane. You know, sometimes we read our Bibles with our cup of coffee in our hand and our latte and our Danish. Well, Solomon had 1,000 wives. That is insane. You realize that if he was with one girl a night, he wouldn't see the same girl for 3 years. That's a little bit of excess, wouldn't you say? Just a little. Even the word, some of you in the room are like, whoa, but even that is insane what he did. He went the opposite. And why his mom warned him? It's what happened. Please understand, his mom didn't warn him because she was trying to keep him from any kind of sensual pleasure. She knew what all those women would do to his heart, and we see it happen in 1 Kings, don't we? His heart got turned away. Solomon, that started with such a heart for God, such a heart to see God honored in his life, he got to a point where he didn't even know which way was up because his heart had been drawn away with the pursuit of the sensual. Bathsheba said, stay away from women. Secondly, she told him to stay away from excess wine. And Solomon failed there big time as well. 1 Kings and Chronicles and Ecclesiastes tells us the parties that Solomon would have would make even the rock stars of today blush a little bit. The wine would flow like water. Sensual debauchery was the order of the evening. And Solomon even went beyond that. Again, it tells us this in 1 Kings. For the king had at sea a navy of Hiram. And once every 3 years, it brought him gold and silver and ivory. Okay. And then apes and peacocks for the king. With all the money Solomon had, not only did he multiply wives and not only did he multiply money, but Solomon started buying weird stuff. He started buying baboons and peacocks to run around his house while his party was going on. He was literally Michael Jackson before there was Michael Jackson. That was him. Where's Michael at? There he is with all his baboons and llamas and weird stuff running around his house. That was Solomon. So these parties with just the wine flowing and baboons running around and peacocks running around. It was an embarrassment to what his mother had told him. And if that wasn't enough, as far as the treatment of the poor, do you remember what happened when Solomon died and his son Rehoboam took over? The poor of the land came to him and said, please, Rehoboam, cut the taxes, Rehoboam. Your father taxed us so heavily. The burden upon us was so deep. You see, instead of ministering to the poor, loving the poor, ministering to those that were in need, Solomon burdened the poor, taxed the poor. I mean, someone's got to pay for all the women, all the wine, all the baboons. Those things are costly. The baboons, not the, anyways. But the reality is, someone's got to pay for all of this stuff. And so if you're following me, Solomon did the exact opposite of what his mother had encouraged him to do. And knowing how most of you moms operate and think, I bet it broke her heart. I bet it embarrassed her as she watched her little Lemmy, her little dedicated to God, getting married every weekend to another girl, coming over to visit the grandkids, and they all have pet baboons. And dad is half drunk all the time with the poor outside the palace gates crying for help. I bet Bathsheba was brokenhearted. And you know what else? You know what else, church family? I bet she blamed herself. I bet she blamed herself, for you remember, let's not forget who Proverbs 31 is written about. I bet Bathsheba remembered she had a sordid past herself. Remember, it was her who was bathing on the rooftop that night under the palace where David lived. And I know today we have all of our reasons that Bathsheba was only a victim that night. But please hear me. Every Jewish commentator makes it plain that she would later say with a repentant heart that she knew what she was doing that night. Oh, David was just as much his fault. Don't get me wrong. But Bathsheba had a fault in the whole deal as well. And I just wonder if she didn't blame herself. I tried to tell Solomon the right way to live. I tried to teach him about the Lord. And yet he's gone off the deep end. And maybe my judgment hasn't always been the best. Maybe I haven't had the character that I should have had. Maybe I'm the reason he went off the deep end. Oh, we can't be dogmatic about what Bathsheba was thinking or feeling. But I would imagine many of you are in that same place. that when you had your little boy, your little girl, you dedicated them to God. You tried the best you could to teach them about the Lord and His Word. But as they grew further away from the principles you tried to instill in them. And I even bet that deep inside, the enemy is whispering to your heart, you're to blame. Maybe if you were a better example, maybe if you demonstrated Christianity better in their lives, things would have been different today. I don't know if you're feeling that or not, but let me encourage you with a few things before we go our way this morning. First of all, historically, we understand that Bathsheba never got to experience her son turning back to the Lord. For she died while Solomon was still multiplying wives, buying baboons, drinking himself into a stupor every night. She never experienced anything different. And maybe she felt on her deathbed, I've failed as a parent, like maybe some of you feel. But listen. The story was not over for Solomon. For as an old man, he will go on to write the book of Ecclesiastes. And at the end of that book, Solomon admits, what a fool I've been. I've pursued women and wine and filled my house with weird stuff like baboons and peacocks. And Solomon admits, Mom was right. It's empty. It's all vanity. And Solomon says at the very end of that book, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Solomon says, the reason we exist, the reason I was made, was to serve the Lord. That doesn't mean that you have to be a pastor or a missionary, but you exist. You, young man, young woman, you exist. Older man, older woman, you exist to serve the Lord. And you will always feel like something is missing in your life until your life is like Solomon was supposed to be. Dedicated to God. Lord, whether I'm a doctor, lawyer, policeman, fireman, I'm going to serve you and do what you have called me to do. Solomon says that is the chief end of man. And in that moment, he became a preacher, a proclaimer of truth, reminding his generation to serve the Lord and speaking of his mom. Far from blaming her for his own sin and rebellion, he writes an ode to mom in Proverbs 31, where he extols his mom for all that she taught him, all that she modeled him, for all that she exemplified in his life. And far from what some women do when they read Proverbs 31, which is to deal with condemnation. I don't measure up to that. Would you now, from this day forward, read this chapter with an encouragement that it's written about Bathsheba, who I promise wasn't always those things as well. But her son saw what she was. Her son saw what she was trying to do. And he writes about his mother, who wasn't always perfect, but loved God and wanted to teach her kids about the God she loved so much. Now you might say, well, that is encouraging, except for the fact that you said Bathsheba never got to see it. This wasn't a Mother's Day card that she read someday. Proverbs 31, the book of Ecclesiastes, all written after she was dead. She never got to see it. So wonderful. After she's long dead, her backsliding son pulls his head out of the toilet and gets right. I'm so glad, but she never got to see it. How is that supposed to encourage me? Listen. I didn't say she never saw it. I said she had died. Bathsheba stepped into eternity thinking she had failed as a mother, thinking that maybe she was the problem, that she wasn't a good enough example to her boy. She stepped into eternity thinking her prayers had not been heard. But then, hear me on this, precious church. Hear me, men and women. Hear me, mothers and fathers. Hear me, single men, single women. Then, after Bathsheba died, came the mother of all days. Not Mother's Day, the mother of all days, when Bathsheba stood before the Lord. And she got to see your life, Bathsheba, your ministry, your prayers, your effort. They were not in vain. Oh, it seemed like your little boy was only into baboons and booze and bimbos. It seemed like you failed. But then, on the mother of all days, Bathsheba was made aware your work, your life, your ministry was not in vain. Here is what Solomon's going to say at the end of his life. Here is what he's going to preach. Here's what he's going to write about you, Bathsheba, who feels like such a failure. He's going to write Proverbs 31 that I guarantee that as Bathsheba reads that in heaven, she thinks, I wasn't that. But that's how my son saw me. And encouragement fills her heart. Her life and her ministry and her prayers were not in vain. And hear me on this, you precious moms. You may look at your kids and think, I failed them. But the story is not over for them. You mark my words. You keep praying. You keep lovingly sharing. You keep proclaiming. And maybe you'll see it and maybe you won't in this life. But my Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. That is a promise from God to you. Keep praying. Keep sharing. Keep proclaiming. Maybe you'll see it. Maybe you won't in this life. But on the mother of all days, you will, and you will know that your effort was not in vain. And by the way, do you know that's true not just for you moms out there, but the rest of us can relate to that as well? You pour into your friends, don't you? You try to exemplify Christ to those in your sphere of influence, even those that drive you crazy. And yet sometimes we feel like we're ministering to a brick wall or a pack of donkeys. You ever check this verse out? This amazes me. 1 Chronicles 27:30 says of Jedidiah, and I know it looks weird spelled that way, but that's how it is in the Bible, that he was the Merathite, and his job, he was over the donkeys. This is where Chronicles tells you where all the priests did, what their ministry was. And this bro, his job from God was to minister to donkeys. I think that is so funny. What do you do for the Lord? I'm in upper management. Oh, what do you manage? Donkeys. I'm over all the donkeys. I'm the head donkey. I'm sorry. I just find that so funny. But some of you feel that way, don't you? You go to your secular job and you deal with your boss who is a donkey and employees who act like a pack of donkeys. And you go home and you go, is this it, Lord? My ministry is to minister to donkeys? And you're frustrated because the donkeys never thank you. The donkeys never stop being donkeys. And you think, I'm wasting my life. Listen to me. Listen to me. The story is not over for them. You mark my words. You keep praying. You keep lovingly sharing. You keep proclaiming. And you may see it in this life and maybe you don't. But my Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That is a promise from God to you that as you keep praying, keep sharing, keep proclaiming, keep pouring into those donkeys, that maybe you'll see it, maybe you won't, but on the mother of all days, you will see that your labor was not in vain. Serving people is difficult stuff. So for all of you here today, my heart is to encourage you not to give up, but especially for you moms. We know your task is hard. Don't give up. We're so thankful for you. And we want to do a couple of things as we close this service. Nobody leave. You are not dismissed. You are not dismissed. Not. Sit down, sir. Just kidding. Nobody's leaving. We want to pray, first of all, blessing and strength over your moms. I want your family to pray for you. I want your church family to pray for you. So if you are a mom, a grandma, a mother-to-be here today, I want you, first of all, just to stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet. I know you moms don't like all that attention. Yeah, you do. Come on. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stay standing. Now. Stay standing, ladies. Now, you husbands, sons, daughters, I want you to put an arm on mom around you. And if there's anybody, because sometimes people come to church and their families don't come with them, but we are your family. If you see a lady sitting around her without someone on her, you walk over there right now. Don't you leave any of these precious gals all sitting alone. I'll come down and deal with you. Don't you dare do that. If there's a lady standing here without someone with a hand on their shoulder, everybody's okay. Yeah, Jonathan, you got to get me pray. Here we go. Here we go, okay? We're going to pray blessing right now. Father, we thank you for these ladies. And we want to pray right now, blessing over them. God, would you bless them? Would you give them every spiritual gift they need for the task that's in front of them? Because, Lord, it's hard. It's difficult. Sometimes kids can be like a pack of donkeys. You don't know what they're doing. We don't know where they're going. But, Lord, I pray they would remember that their labor is not in vain because it's done for you. And maybe, Lord, for some of these husbands, maybe some of these kids, the first time they've ever put a hand on their mom and prayed blessing for them, I pray that today wouldn't be the last day, but they would realize what a precious gift that she is. And we as a church family, we realize what a precious gift each of these moms are. And we just want to dedicate them to you and pray strength and blessing and encouragement into their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You all may all be seated. Now, before we go, one last thing. You're still not dismissed. Don't leave. One last thing. One last thing. Can I speak for 2 minutes? 2 minutes to you Solomons out there. Young men or not so young men. Young women, not so young women. You whose mother prays for you all the time, who taught you the principles of this book, and you have gone another way for whatever reason, justified or not. Can I speak to you? You're breaking your mother's heart. I don't know how many moms I have encountered over my years of being a pastor, where I've been pulled aside in the hallways and into an office and saying to me, Pastor Jason, with tears in your mom's eyes, we need to pray for my son. We need to pray for my daughter. And their heart is ripping apart. Oh, sometimes they blame themselves. They think they're the reason you've gone astray. They think if they were just a better example to you, you wouldn't have decided to go in the other direction. And we pray together, we intercede together, but you need to hear from me because I love you. And maybe no one else will tell you, you're breaking your mother's heart. What are you doing? You're breaking mom's heart. And more than that, listen to me, she has been right all along. Would you learn from Solomon? Your pursuits, whatever they are, they're going to leave you empty. No matter how successful you are at them, if you are wise, and I believe you are, and your mom really believes you are, she thinks you're brilliant. But if you're really wise, if you're really brilliant, it's time for you to head in a different direction today. I know the best thing you could ever give your mom, you Solomons, is not flowers. Oh, those are sweet. It's not to pick up the tab for lunch this afternoon. That's nice too. But the thing that has been consuming your mother's heart and prayers is that you would walk with Jesus.
And I'm sorry that overcomes me. I'm picturing your mom's face because I've seen it. You're off doing whatever, and her heart is breaking for you. It's not breaking because of lack of flowers. It's not breaking because of lack of candies. Her heart breaks for you. And the best thing you could give her this Mother's Day is for you to get walking with Jesus again. For you to realize, this isn't fulfilling me. This isn't working out the way that I thought. Please don't wait till you're old and she's gone for you to do what Solomon finally did and said, all the wine and women and baboons and pursuits, it was all vanity, vanity, vanity. Serve God and keep His commandments. That's why we were made. Don't wait till then. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is this day of salvation. And listen to me, precious, precious Solomon. I'm not condemning you. Your mother doesn't condemn you. The Lord doesn't condemn you. But for some of you today needs to be a day you move in another direction. Today needs to be a day where you surrender your heart to the Lord. And I'll tell you the day you'll never forget it or never regret it. On the mother of all days, when you stand before the Lord, and you will, and you realize that was the right decision. That was the best thing I could do, not just for my mom, but for my life and my future as well. Let's pray together. Father, with all of our heads bowed and all of our eyes closed, first of all, Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the gals in this church, Lord. How this church would be just gruff and weird without the ladies. I'm so thankful for them. I'm so thankful for what each of them add and their nurturing spirit, their sensitivity to you and the things that you do. I am so thankful for all the gals in this church, mothers or not. And Lord, of course, on Mother's Day, we're thankful for the moms, for those that poured into us when a lot of us didn't know what was up or down. And yet they faithfully loved us and came alongside us. And we just are so thankful for them. And Father, today, I also want to pray for the Solomons, Solomonettes, those men and women who their mom tried to teach them the truth. And of course, she wasn't perfect. None of us are. But they've gone a different direction. They've gone a different way. I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that today you would draw them back to your side. That today would be the day of salvation and rededication of their lives to you. And with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, I don't know where all of you are at today. Your mom didn't send me a note saying, please talk to my son, he's coming to church. That didn't happen. But maybe you're here today and the Lord's been speaking to you. You've been going in a different direction and you're tired of running. You realize, like Solomon eventually did, that those pursuits are empty without a relationship with Jesus. And today is the greatest thing you can give your mom. Today, you're ready to turn back to Jesus. If that's where you're at today, if that's the place the Lord has you in today, again, it's a moment just between you and the Lord right now and me, because I'm praying for you. But if that's you, would you just lift up your hand and say, that's me? That's me. Would you pray for me, Pastor Jason? I need to get right with the Lord. God bless you. I see you, young man. Anybody else that would say, that's me. I see you in the back. God bless you too. God bless you. You over there. Lord, I thank you so much for these three individuals. Just lift up their hand and say, that's me. I've been going a different way, and I've been going my own path. And I pray today, Lord, that you would do something in their hearts. That you would spark a flame in their hearts that won't be able to be burnt out by the enemy. And that today would be a brand new start for them. A day where they can walk with you from this day forward. Not that they're always going to be perfect. None of us are. But they're quick to repent and say, Lord, that's not who I am anymore. And to keep walking with you all the days of their life. Father, I just pray for these precious men and women just lifting up their hands, that you, Lord, would do a miracle of restoration in their hearts right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.